Welcome to Look Behind the Look, the celebrated podcast that explores your favorite looks in film, television, and fashion history. Through conversations with the fashion world's elite and award-winning hair, makeup, and costume designers on sets around the world, you will see and hear exciting tales from behind the scenes, career origin stories, and tons of advice and tips. I'm your host, Tiffany Bartok. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Look Behind the Look. This week's episode is so much fun. I'm speaking to the women behind the hair and makeup looks in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. This film is everybody's favorite. It came out this summer and totally rocked the scene. If you're the one person who hasn't seen this film, go watch it on Showtime. It's there right now, or watch it on any other streaming platform, but absolutely view it before you listen to this episode. Also, there's a ton of press on the film, and I'll share some of the links in the notes there. Learn more about the work of Anissa Salazar and Michelle Chung in those articles. Anissa, who is the hair department head, she met the Daniels working on Swiss Army Man. And so you're going to hear all about the surprises that she experienced on set. Like, so, we're going to shoot this wig backwards now. Surprise. And Michelle will talk about the unforgettable Elvis look that Stephanie Hsu rocked in this unforgettable film. So enjoy all these great stories and learn more about the women who created these looks. Enjoy.
Mrs. Wang.
Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
I am paying attention.
Now, you may only see a pile of receipts, but I see a story. I can see where this story is going.
It does not look good.
What's happening?
Hi, ladies. Thank you for joining me. I have Anissa. Okay, that's my instinct to say Anissa. So everybody knows it's Anissa and Michelle from the hair and makeup department of your favorite movie, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And you guys, this movie's been out for a long time, right?
It's so crazy.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, though, for sure. I feel like it's been a year, but it came out this summer, right? And now it's streaming, so you can see it. I watched it on Showtime. and it's just so much fun and so such a great ride. And I'm sure you're just, did you know that it would be getting this amazing reception? Did you have any idea, or did you think it would just get buried?
No, I thought it was just going to go to Sundance. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Another Sundance movie. Like, so exciting. Like a passion indie project. It was exciting to see it's like full turnaround. I'm like, holy cow.
It really did have that indie vibe. Is that true for the whole making of it and everything? When I was watching it, it felt like the best indie I'd seen in years. But it's really... a family affair.
It had that family feel of like, yes, an indie where like everyone really just like works together and like, you know, is really trying to just make this project happen. So I think in that way definitely felt like an indie.
It was like everybody was definitely on the same page and everyone was making the same movie, which is very rare.
Yeah, and it was cool. Like, it was a lot of the same crew and plus more friends, you know, so it just felt like summer camp and a really smooth production. So we didn't understand what exactly was about to happen, but we all just knew that we really cared about the project and the script and the Daniels and like just full on collaborated, and it made this beautiful picture.
Yes. I mean, yeah. The intention is definitely what translates the most, right? It was, how did you guys come to the project? Or I know it was 10 years in the making for them writing it, but when did you first start hearing that it was going to happen?
I guess initially I first heard about it because I worked with the Daniels on Swiss Army Man, which was their first feature in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of heard they were working on it even then. And I just kind of kept checking in every year, like, we have anything to read, and they're very open with their crew and friends, the circle. So it was just like constantly kind of checking in when it's ready. And then I met Michelle Chung when I first moved to LA, and we were working together at an effect shop. And then Michelle is so talented doing like beauty and effects. I was like, and she's cool. So
that that's very important to have somebody that you want to be with on set for those hours.
Yeah.
Michelle, this, so you definitely had a huge challenge because some of the looks are super Euphoria-esque, like beauty, makeup, fun, you know, amazing, glamorous looks. And then also the blood. And so how did you navigate all of those different?
Yeah. You know, I came up doing indies. So, okay. And a lot of like horror films. So the blood is really like, that's like natural to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I came up in the effects world. So for me, like that's very like normal for me. And then, I don't know. I was an artist in school. Like I studied art since I was little. So, I think that just comes naturally to me. Yeah. And then over the years, I kind of transitioned from effects into beauty. So I kind of just, naturally have gone that progression anyways. So, that was, it kind of all feels comfortable to me now.
Good.
Cause you have to do a little bit of everything on a lot of shows. So.
Yeah. And how did you guys break down the multiverse of it all? How did, what did you, were you like.
We booked a flight to, I mean, Michelle had like this insane breakdown, like a wall. Yeah.
It was basically, so we weren't in a trailer. We were in a room in this building. And we had just had a lot of space. We were in an old gym that like, I think it was a gym. That
I love that you don't know. You still don't remember.
Well, it was an office building.
Yeah.
But I think the room that we were in, they had originally used as a gym. So there were like a lot of mirrors and it was this big open space and we kind of converted it into our like makeup room. So we had a lot of space. So we had this huge wall on one side and my key, Erin Rosenman, was so amazing. And she made this crazy Excel spreadsheet with like every scene and like what universe it was. And we just taped the whole thing to the wall so that we could just keep track because it was a lot.
Yes.
It was a lot of universes. So it was really like, that was really helpful to have like a chart just saying like, you know, every scene and what multiverse it was.
Wow. Yeah. So did they shoot it in order of universes? I mean,
no. Oh, no. Kind of like we started with the IRS building. So a lot of that. So we started, I think we even finished at the IRS building with the end of the movie. Cause that was okay. The last bit of it. But yeah, we were there for the most part. And then we had like sets built interior inside of the building where, you know, it was like the cafeteria area, just like an old, Bank of America, like financial center building. So it had so much space. So it was cool that we were all kind of like in different rooms down the hall from each other. And then different sets were in different rooms. Yeah, it was a bit of a maze.
That's such a luxury.
Kind of convenient.
Wow. It was wonderful. It was really nice everyone being in the same space all the time because during prep especially, like you could just go from room to room and just say hi to people and like look at inspiration and just, you know. And if you had an idea, it was really easy to meet someone. You didn't have to like email them and wait for a response. You could just run to the room and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Oh my God.
No, that's like community theater.
Yeah.
But like a theater, like a student one act.
And also Muppet Show. Like I feel like it's a little bit of a running over with the stuff and being like, hey guys, what about this? And obviously my favorites, I mean, they're everyone's favorite probably is the jumpsuit of Stephanie, the Elvis jumpsuit look. Mm. And how did you guys come up with that? And can you tell me about the aha of it all?
Yeah, go for it, Chung.
Well, I knew that, I already knew that she was going to be in a pink wig because Anissa had told me she was. Well, we knew there was going to be pink smoke.
Okay.
Yeah, when he entered. So we knew that. And then I'd seen the Elvis jumpsuit. So I knew that she was going to be like covered in bling. So I was like, let me match that with her face because this is really like such a big entrance moment, I think, like seeing her. So I really just wanted to like put a lot of that bling on her face.
Oh, and how did you apply it?
Just with like the non-latex duo. It was just rhinestones.
That was it? Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Expertly applied. And it's like, it's just like you and people think like, oh, I'm going to do it. And then you're like, oh no, but you're not. It's, you know, I can do it like that. It has to last for 14 hours. Oh my God.
And I think that day we had to do multiple looks, right?
That day was the whole hallway scene. So that whole fight sequence. So it's the Elvis look, the luchador, the salsa dancer.
Oh, I love the salsa dancer.
All of those looks were all shot in 2 days, that whole hallway fight sequence. And all the blood splatter and all of that was like a 2 day sequence. So
you need to put that like on a bumper sticker or something, like I did that in 2 days.
I survived.
Yes. Yeah, that's insane. It was you guys, wild. Wow,
it was crazy. And then, too, that Nisa had a huge wig gag in the middle of that as well, with that Elvis wig.
Oh yeah, we didn't realize, like, right. I was busy, I don't even remember what I was doing, maybe getting Stephanie's second change ready or something, or doing Michelle's wig. And my key, Megan Healy, she's so sweet. She came over and she's like, so they took the whole wig off and put it backwards, and now they want her to come out of the head. And she was like panicking. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh shit, I gotta go. So then I like stopped, and mind you, there was only two of us. It was the department head and our key. And we were constantly busy. Like there was we barely ate. Like
it was, oh, I'm sure.
So Megan's like freaking out, and I ran over there, and yeah, they were like, okay, so we want to unglue the wig and have her pop out from it, because we think it's funny. And I'm like, what? No, like, I'm like, okay, fine. So then, you know, we somehow Jimmy rigged it to do that. And it was hilarious because at the end of it, the promo pictures that all came out was her with the wig backwards. And I'm like, no. And so I'm just like, ugh. I mean, it was worth the payoff, but now it just looks like she's wearing like a hard front. Now
right,
I'm
right, right.
And it's like, yeah, we had very low resources and very low budget, but not that low.
Not that low. I can do a lot with a little.
But there was a lot of those type of surprises. Shoot. The entire 8 weeks of filming, constant quick changes, constant, you know, brainstorming, quick decision making. So,
and how did you approach those glamorous, I mean, her as the movie star, it was just sublime, just gorgeous. How did you decide? Did you have different looks for each premiere? And some of it was real footage, right?
Yeah, they used some, like, I think for most, like, that inspiration was just, like, classic Hollywood, you know, like just classic Hollywood 40s kind of vibe, waves. And this is the moment where we see her, where she, in her mind, is living her best life, where she's the fabulous, you know, movie star, billionaire, but then internal, there's just so much more happening. So the exterior should look, you know, picture perfect. And
right.
So that was another quick, like, running around, you know, it was the day of the pandemic.
I thought you guys finished before the pandemic.
No, that was our last day. It was the movie star universe, and I think the opera, the Chinese opera, was a couple of the day before that, I think, or that week. But there was a lot happening, so we just made sure that, you know, with her hair, I put like, I think I did a halo with a couple clip-ins, and just made sure she had like this gorgeous like set and the wave, and tried to brush it out as quick as possible to get it nice and bouncy. But then, of course, like, again, all the photos of her in that hair, it's like, she's such a mess, because it was chaos. Like,
it was raining too. We wrapped at 7 a.m. on Saturday, right when everything shut down. Right, it was raining that night, and we were shooting outside in downtown LA. It was
in March. Yeah. Right, in March. Okay.
But she looks so stunning. So who cares if her hair's not in the right placement? She looked incredible. Whoa. So yeah, I think that look was so cool, because we also were promising her, like, don't worry, like, the beauty part's coming soon, you know, because we started her hero with this IRS look, and it's just like, you know, tired, more mature woman who's just really going through some big life changes and decision making. And so she looked really rough, and she just trust the process. She didn't question anything. She just let us do what we wanted to do. And I think that was such a, I don't know, such a reward, like, as artists, you know, like, we could just do our jobs and, of course, offer, like, feedback or opinions, and, but they were, the whole entire cast was just so easy to work with, so it was really, really nice for us, because we clearly had a lot of challenges that we, other things that we had to more, you know, get to, so that was nice.
And how, what kinds of tricks did you do to age her, because she's so youthful and eternally youthful? Was it just like grays, or was there anything that you did to, it didn't seem like much, it was so realistic.
Oh, you can go, Michelle, for makeup.
Makeup wise, like, I paled her down a little bit. I took a lot of the color out of her face.
Okay.
Did add like a couple tiny little age spots. And then really just like accentuated like the red and darkness under her eyes to make her seem tired, and just added like a little bit of like broken capillaries and like a little bit of like redness around her nose. Just to really just give her that, like, she doesn't take care of herself kind of look, that she's just living her worst life and just tired. And we, like, took down her lips so that, they looked a little bit of like a little bit of dryness.
Oh,
it was
really, yeah.
Yeah. So just taking down as much of, like, she's such a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Trying to take away any of her beauty, really.
But you didn't go too far, you know.
No, just really, you know, believable. We wanted her to be like super believe, like a really believable character, someone that you might know in real life. Like, it didn't want, and I didn't want the makeup to like it to look like, you know, it doesn't, you know, when it looks like makeup, it takes you out of the story. Yeah. So I think that that was really important too.
100%. Well, it could look distracting, but hers was so effortless. Yeah, it looked effortless. Like, that was so stunning. And then with her wig too, like, I had just gotten, you know, we didn't have much time. I didn't have like this amazing luxury of having custom backup wigs. And I just had to refront an entire John Blake. So I like took a John Blake and I nared most of it to kind of make it flat, because, you know, the Daniels are really against wigs, and they're like,
oh, really?
Every time, they're like, every time we've seen one, it looks like a wig. It's really distracting. And same thing, you know, like the makeup can't be too visible. Same thing with the wigs. Like, Daniel was like, if I could see the lace, it already kind of puts me out. I'm like, okay. So I went 2 weeks before we were about to go to Michelle's hotel and took her head measurements. And then I made her a head block and stuffed it and refronted this John Blake to her hairline. So I customized it about like the first like 4.5 inches. And then I used her own natural hairline, because she has like a really hard cowlick right in the top left of her head. So it I utilized it with the wig and kind of trimmed around it, and it sat really cool. And then I low lighted it with different colors, and I ventilated like a thicker type of textured hair that would be more wiry, like just a few on the temples and, you know, the ear and like obviously where it was going to part. And I tried a couple like different hero hairstyles where it would always be. And again, like just believing this character, like, you know, I looked at a lot of reference from like Daniel Kwan's family. He would send me photos of his mom at certain ages, which was really sweet. And like, you know, the hair accessories are very minimal, but also something you can just get at the convenience store. Like, they're not glamorous. So it was just, again, keeping these characters like super authentic to where it's not distracting, and you can just like go in and you can clearly see the difference of all these universes, because there's characteristics that are all different within their traits and then, you know, their outer appearance too. So it was really fun.
I know. And
look, there's a lot going on.
And I'm just like, oh, and you just took some gray and you colored it in right here at the temple.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, and we didn't have much time to prep. Like, we were prepping during the Christmas break, and then we started shooting, what, January 3rd or something like that?
Like beginning of January. So
it was
a very short prep.
Were you guys paused and then came back, or were you done?
Well, we were just in prep before Christmas break.
No one at COVID for COVID.
No, so we had one day of shooting left, like a green screen day before we shut down, and they were like, we're not doing that. So it was basically almost our last day of shooting, and then everything shut down, which is
crazy.
Yeah. So luckily we got the main photography in before we had to shut down. The timing was, insane.
Yeah. Wow. That is really, that I love stuff like that. It's super meant to be.
Right.
Exactly. Because also it doesn't, then COVID didn't allow you guys to go like, we should reshoot this and we don't, let's go back and no, you know, which you sort of live with it for a little too long and then you start to mess with it too much. So like, I love that the decision was made for the movie, you know.
Oh, there were hard outs. They had timelines.
That's great. And tell me about working with Jamie Lee Curtis, because this is the best I've ever seen her, honestly. Like,
she's the best. She is hilarious. She's just such a joy. Like, she just comes and like loves to work and like sits on set when she doesn't even need to be there.
Oh,
like hang out with everybody. Like, she's not one of those people that goes back to her room. Like, she just wants to be there and experience everything, which is really lovely. But she like came in with a definite idea of who she wanted to be for sure.
Okay.
This is my character. This is what I want to look like.
It does not look good.
You know, she had a full backstory. It was a whole
had
a backstory about she was best friends with her nail lady, so her nails were always like perfectly done.
She had
like a beautiful red, but everything else was kind of just like a disaster. Like, she wears the same concealer that she's been wearing since she was 20. It doesn't match her skin anymore. Like, she had a whole story. It was amazing.
I love that. And what was the most fun for you guys to work on? Which part did you, was it the glam or was it?
I don't know. God, they were all so fun.
Yeah.
Are we asking like on what person or?
I guess which multiverse, what do you call them? You don't call it a multiverse. The universes are multi, right? So which universe was the most fun to work on?
For Evelyn, for Michelle, I think for me, seeing her in that Chinese opera wig, just like, and then her like, you know, during a take doing the movements and the voice and the singing, and I was just like because also that wig was like, I said a little prayer and hope that it would
really
perfectly because again there was like very limited time, so I didn't have wig fittings with her. I didn't have time to, like, it was just a wrap and go. And so with that wig, I put together a couple different pieces and did like some background study on like how traditional Chinese opera wigs are made, and, you know, use things to mimic and the shapes. And I kind of laid everything on a wig block, and not even her own, because her hero was on that one.
Oh.
And, like, I just had to try to make it mimic that same effect. And then when we saw her with her beautiful makeup and the headpiece, and I mean, her costume, it just was stunning. That was my ultimate favorite for her. And she
Standing by the monitor, not breathing when you.
Oh my God. I was taking so many screenshots. I was just I was just like recording the monitor. I was like, this is amazing.
I saw the monitor shots on your Instagrams and I was my God, I know exactly what they were probably celebrating so hard inside and couldn't, you can't say anything. You're just like,
it was hard because we really like had to make her look not great for almost the whole movie. Sure.
Exactly.
So that in itself, I'm like, great. I mean, I grew up watching Michelle Yeoh. Like, my dad was a huge fan of hers. Like, so I grew up watching her. I know. So I was like so excited. And then I was like, why do I need to make her look awful? Like, this is like
a cruel trick.
Yes. So I was like excited that the moments that we did get to make her look beautiful were like so much more magical, because it was, you know, I mean, I love that. Like, I think making her look like her normal, like the Evelyn version of herself, was like the most satisfying to me, because she is so believable as a real person, but it's also kind of heartbreaking because you're like, she's such a beautiful woman. Why am I doing this to her?
Right. Oh my God. And I mean, can you just die looking at how she's like, there's Oscar talk about everything. All of the departments are being
It's so amazing. I mean, we just had the best time, and like everyone, there wasn't a bad apple in the whole group. Like, we just had the best time. And so the fact that like everybody's getting so much recognition is just, it's so lovely, just because everyone worked so hard.
Now, do you two answer to two people when you're working? I mean, they're brothers. So are they?
They're best friends.
Best friends. Sorry. Sorry, they're best friends. But is it a co-directing situation, or how? What is the dynamic, and how do you navigate that?
For me, they split up their duties a little bit. So there were times that I would go to one of them and say, what do you think about that? Because I made like mood boards and stuff, and they'd be like, oh, talk to the other one, you know, talk to Jan.
Got it. Okay.
So they kind of split up the duties, and then every once in a while, the two of them would discuss. It was very like organic, kind of.
You didn't even notice
my process with them. I don't know if yours was different, but for me, they just seemed to be very fluid about like, you know, sharing responsibilities and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty, I think we kept like a couple email chains, like consistent, and text threads, just like for quick answers. Or yeah, we would just run up to them before, you know, the day started, like, hey, this and this. And they're like, yeah, great.
Okay. Like,
yeah. It was really cool because, you know, they're so trusting. And like, if you can support whatever that background story is, then they'll be in for it. That, you know, so these were like, we had to have ideas just on deck, like, okay, what do we think would go with this? Like, if we had a certain piece of costume fabric that we knew that was going to be used, or like we knew a tone of a scene. So they would give us direction, of course, but then the rest, like, it was kind of, we trust you and your vision. So it was like a collaborative effort with a shared vision, which was really cool. Like, cause you don't get that a lot. So
and micromanaging,
and
but there wasn't time to micromanage in this case. I'm certain. No. They're like, thank God you can read my mind. Thank God, because we don't have time for anything less. And then one thing I thought of when I was watching it again this last time was, did you ever like get a universe mixed up? Like, did you ever think, like, were you ever like getting ready and then you're like, wait, we're not doing that universe? Wait, which universe are we on?
Me all the time. I had to ask Chung, like, okay, wait, hodgepodge, or wait, which one's this? I was like, wait, what?
It was a lot.
I'm sure. Oh my gosh. Thank you for spending your time with me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks.
Look Behind the Look is a Vinyl Foot production, written by me, your host, Tiffany Bartok, produced by Jace Bartok, edited by Nicole Tucker. If you're interested in learning more, find our video version on the YouTube channel, Look Behind the Look Podcast. There you can see rare photos and clips from our guests. And please follow us on Twitter at LookBehindPod and Instagram at LookBehindTheLook. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. And tell your friends and spread the word. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Thanks for listening to Look Behind the Look.